This is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. The accuracy of thousands of breathalyzer tests in Massachusetts is now in question after a judge found that the state did not prove that it had a scientifically sound way to calibrate its breath tests. That could affect, by some estimates, 20,000 drunk driving cases. Joining us to talk about this is Nancy Gertner, a former federal judge, senior lecturer at Harvard Law School, and WBUR's legal analyst. Welcome.
Nice to be here.
So what do you make of this ruling? We should say that these breath tests and what we're talking about here were used from 2012 to 2014.
Right. So, the court said that 2014 going forward, they met the scientific standards. But the court made findings which are really quite stunning, which is that sort of critical scientific information about the protocols for testing the machine, about what the standards were determined by word of mouth. And then there were meetings of the scientists who were talking about, how they were going to do things, how they were going to calibrate, how they're going to test. There were also in informal meetings without records. So that means that no one could supervise what was going on. And that actually relates to the Farrakh and Dukan scandals.
Okay, those are other drug evidence testing scandals.
Right.
Former chemist Danny Dukan and former chemist Sonia Farrakh. Yep.
Right, because the idea was not just occasionally, you could wind up with a tech that is doing something wrong. The issue is what are the circumstances under which it will be found out?
Mm-hmm.
And without written records, without written protocols, without written standards, then it is easier for someone to both make a mistake or go rogue, essentially, which is what happened in those cases.
Right. Now, these machines themselves were challenged, and the judge said, no, the machines are okay. It's the calibration of these machines, right? Is
right,
that what we're talking
right.
about?
So, I mean, it's the machine had to be set. There were standards for setting it. There were standards for measuring the particular sample against other samples. And you had to determine, those were judgments that essentially the calibrator had to make according to certain protocols. And if the person was doing this informally based on word of mouth, then you couldn't count on the protocols being followed. Mm. And it's like a black box, right? You can't have a machine that suddenly you put in information and it spits out something. You have to know that the way that they did it was consistent with scientific protocols.
Because we've had these other problems with testing, drug evidence testing that you mentioned with Annie Dukan and Sonia Farrakh, I'm wondering what you think this does for the public's confidence in testing. I mean, do you think it will result in more challenges to the reliability of tests?
I think it will. There's sort of a going forward and a looking back problem. Going forward, I think this will encourage stricter standards that the courts will apply. This decision was very carefully done. And the public can have confidence going forward. Looking back, we've had bumps in the road, more than bumps in the road. The Dukan and Farrakh standards are really fundamental challenges to the integrity of the process. This is more a question of carelessness than someone actually intentionally trying to upend the process.
Mm-hmm.
So going back, we have concerns. But looking forward, it should be better.
But the message of carelessness is a big one. I mean, if in fact it was a word of mouth system that was supposed to determine the accuracy of machines and sentences for people who could go to prison and it really affects their lives, I mean, what does that say? Does it say something about our criminal justice system?
It says something about our criminal justice system in the past. I mean, that's the question. The question is whether judges will be careful about any kind of testing going forward. And these kinds of decisions promote that. Now the system has to deal with what we've seen now in the drug testing area, which is the dislocation that comes from results which could not be trusted scientifically being admitted into evidence. But that's something the system's going to have to deal with.
Hmm. I want to go to the Supreme Judicial Court, which was also involved in this drunk driving issue, breathalyzer test issue. The Supreme Court, State Supreme Judicial Court, has really had a ton of changes. Most recently, last week, Justice Margo Botsford retired. Where does that leave things?
Well, there will be her vacancy, and then Judge Jerry Hines will be retiring in the middle of the summer, I believe. There's a mandatory 70 retirement, and so that has accounted for four of the five vacancies that are on the Supreme Judicial Court. Three have already been filled. One vacancy was someone who retired earlier, who resigned earlier. But no, it gives Governor Baker the ability to put five people on a seven-person court, which is extraordinary.
Mm. And what do you think so far of the folks that he's chosen?
These have been fine candidates. But this court has been a distinguished court way beyond any in the country. Three of its members went on to the U.S. Supreme Court. Oliver Wendell Holmes was on the court. There have been giants on this court, sort of befitting a court that has really dealt with major state constitutional issues, the death penalty, abortion, criminal justice issues, and been more protective of rights than has the U.S. Supreme Court. So I would want to be careful. I would want to make sure that the next two appointments are filled with people of the caliber of Margot Botsford.
And tell us a little bit about her. Not many folks, I think, know about the inner workings of the state Supreme Judicial
right.
Court. So what does her retirement mean? And what did she do? What do you think her legacy is?
Well, the best way to describe it is what Justice Gant said, which is as fine a writer and thinker as has ever served the court. Now, that is an amazing statement. And what was significant about her was not only the work that she did and the clarity of it and the extent to which she created consensus. That's terribly important. That's the difference between our Supreme Judicial Court and the U.S. Supreme Court. These have been consensus decisions, the ones that I've described. But also he described her as a mentor to all the other judges. These will be very big shoes to fill.
Mm. And one of the cases now before the SJC, and this was argued last week, involves drug users' access to clean needles, specifically a needle exchange program in Hyannis. The town says it's illegal for a private group to distribute needles and that only pharmacies or the State Department of Public Health can do that. So what is the big issue here that you think the SJC needs to determine, and what are your thoughts about that?
Well, on the one hand, when needle exchanges were decriminalized, it had been criminal to distribute needles in the past. When that was decriminalized, an AIDS group and other groups said that means that we can distribute, we can give out needles for free. The statute said that the pharmacies are the only ones that can sell, but they say the AIDS group said that we're not selling, we're distributing. And then other regulations suggest how the public health department might distribute needles. So the question really is whether there was a gap in the law that allowed private groups like the AIDS Action Group to distribute needles for free, or whether essentially the government and local authorities have to be the gatekeeper. The interpretation that they want to give suggests that they have to be the gatekeeper and not the AIDS Action Group.
Hmm. Well, I'm wondering, do you think that this could result in some restrictions? You know, there are lots of needles being handed out now. Things have changed dramatically in the 11 years since this 2006 state law was passed, allowing pharmacies and state-run programs to distribute needles. But, you know, now we've got an opioid epidemic
right,
on our hands.
Right.
And a lot of people don't want to be next to a needle exchange program. So could there be pressure here, do you think? Could this get sent back to the legislature? I mean, I'm just wondering.
If they determine that there's a gap in the statute that enables other entities like an AIDS Action Group to distribute needles for free, if they determine there's a gap, yes, the legislature can step in. I mean, there's an opioid crisis, but there is also a crisis with dirty needles.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question is how to deal with that. And on the one hand, going through local authorities, you run into the, you know, not in my backyard problem. On the other hand, you want to regulate this to some degree. So I think that it's a real dilemma, and the court is dealing with a very narrow statutory issue. If there's a gap, then maybe the legislature can come back. If it's already covered by the existing legislation, then the gatekeeper would be the public health department.
And I just want to ask you in the last 2 minutes that we have here, your take on another legal story, and that involves State Attorney General Maura Healey. Last week she said she's not going to comply with a congressional subpoena from a House committee for documents relating to her investigation into ExxonMobil. What do you think of that?
There is an
You're smiling.
Well, there's an incredible irony here, which is that the Republicans during the previous administrations have raised the importance, and not unreasonably, of federalism. That is to say, states regulating within their borders. Attorney General Healey has done that. The investigation of ExxonMobil is about ExxonMobil's misrepresentations, she claims, to Massachusetts residents about climate change. If the Republicans are true to their view of the structure of this country, then the Attorney General should be allowed, has the right, has the constitutional right, actually, and the constitutional authority to investigate consumer issues within the four corners of the Commonwealth.
Hmm. So I think we'll hear a lot more about this fight. Yeah, this is not even close to over.
Right.
Okay, Nancy Gertner, former federal judge, senior lecturer at Harvard Law School, and WBUR's legal analyst. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.